This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. In the studio with me, Dr. Yap Yu Juan, consultant orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon from Park City Medical Center. Today we're going to be discussing sports-related ankle injuries. Considering how much weight they have to support, your ankles may seem almost fragile in comparison. But what makes up the ankle joints and how do they serve us in our daily function is what we're going to be discussing today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Yap. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Mira. Thank you for having me. It's nice to finally meet you.
You are most welcome. Dr. Yap, what is an ankle? Where does it exactly start and end? I think we all just assume it's just right where we think it is.
Well, it is, I suppose. If you think about the nursery rhymes for the kids, the ankle bone is connected to the leg bone is connected to the knee bone. Well, it's right at the lower end of the fibula, which forms a malleoli. So it is loosely called a hinge joint. Mm-hmm. And then there is a subtalar joint, which is below the ankle joint. And that is like the lowest joint that you can go in your foot, in your leg.
And in terms of daily activities, what is the function of the ankle joint? What does it actually do?
The ankle joint is actually a crucial joint in normal gait. When you walk, there's four phases to your gait. You have your heel strike, and then your stance phase, and then your toe off, and then your swing phase. So the ankle joint comes into play during the heel strike. So it absorbs the shock from the ground. You will notice that some people limp, and that limp can come from the ankle. They may not be able to walk in a straight line. You see frequently they walk a bit like Donald Duck, where the feet are open wide.
Open wide or inwards,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yep. And that's usually sometimes due to contractures around the ankle.
Okay. And does that happen when you are born or as you are developing as a child, or that determines that sort of walk? Well, my grandmother always used to say, go and walk on the side of the drain so that you walk straight. I don't know whether it helped very much, but, you know.
Interesting that you bring that up. I mean, there's a very famous foot and ankle surgeon from the U.S. He's actually, he was in Seattle. He has retired. He's Dr. Sigvard Hansen. And he described what we call atavistic gait, or walking on all fours, to a bipedal gait. So what happens is that our heels came down. All right? You follow my meaning?
If you
look at cats and dogs,
yes,
their heels are off the ground. They walk actually on their toes. All right? But for us, over time, our heels came down and we actually have a tripod position of our foot,
yep,
for a normal gait. Okay? So what happens then with this type of gait? We have remnants of the walking on tiptoes, which is a very tight calf muscle, okay? And this tight calf muscle lends to a lot of problems with the ankle and the foot. And so I don't know whether you can call it like hereditary, but a lot of people have this tight calf muscle. There are patients who are born with foot ankle deformities like club feet. And then when you talk about all these patients that have the funny gait, it can come from the hips, it can come from the knees, it can come from the ankles. So most people with broad-based gait, when they walk like Donald Duck, they have a very tight calf muscle. And that prevents their ankle from coming up. And so the body cheats and accommodates by forcing the foot outwards to make them able to walk.
And can you fix these problems, and at what stage of your life do you fix it?
Yes, you can. You fix it when there are symptoms. I mean, some people just walk funny, but they have no pain.
What about as children? When you notice it as children and you know that this is not normal sort of walking, can you correct it then?
You can sort of do daily stretches, which help. And these things, I mean, if you detect them early, a group of patients that I normally see are usually brought by their parents, who notice that their feet are flat and, you know, they invariably have the tight calf muscles. But these kids, they are just normal kids. They are able to run. They are able to play sports. It's just that their parents get worried. And usually this will be the firstborn in the family. The parents see them walking, stumbling. Okay, I think you have a problem. Let's go see the doctor.
Nobody cares about number 2, 3, and 4.
Yes, because you learn through experience.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So does that mean that a lot of us end up with, you know, ankle problems, and it's through no fault of ours because of evolution and how we now have to walk?
Well, I think if you look at most of our health problems, majority of things are, you know, self-inflicted. Diabetes, for instance, you know, we consume too much sugar. So, I mean, concrete, you know, and roads and things like that, where we walk on and things like that. Whereas our forefathers used to go on dirt roads, on soil which is softer, and maybe because of the lifestyle and the food, then they are more active, they get less problems with their feet and their ankle. I mean, it's multifactorial.
Okay. And when you talk about ankle problems, particularly, who is more prone to developing ankle problems then?
Well, the topic of today's talk is actually sports-related ankle problems. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be focusing a little bit more on sports. I mean, everybody gets ankle problems. It can be as simple or trivial as just an ankle sprain. And I'm sure everybody, if you've walked enough steps, you would have sort of sprained your ankle a little bit before. It may be a minor sprain. It can be a major sprain.
Symptoms of the ankle problems, how do we know that it is the ankle and not something else? As you mentioned, there's tight calf muscles as well. There are other issues as well in the same area.
So, yes, going looking at symptoms that come from around the foot, usually things that occur around the ankle, if you're talking about a calf muscle, you can get cramps. You can be one of those people who catch your feet and almost trip but don't fall, you know. If you're walking aimlessly, thinking about other things, you catch your feet, you almost trip but don't trip. That's usually a subtle sign of a symptom of a tight calf muscle. For ankles, the other thing that you get that you can see is from the ankle. Usually when you sprain your ankle, it swells up. And it swells up, it bruises, it looks like a balloon, your foot is twice the size of the other foot. They cannot fit in their normal shoes versus, you know, what they could do before that.
I think accidentally twisting your ankle is also very common, isn't it? I think we've all done it at some stage of our lives.
Yes.
Sometimes even leading to a hairline fracture without us realizing. So, but, you know, there's something I realized, Dr. Yap, about these twisting of your ankle and injuring it. It comes back and haunts you. It sort of weakens the ankle after one injury. So we'll come back and find out why. How do you strengthen the ankle after an injury? We'll come back and find out more up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sevasodi in our Health and Living segment. Dr. Yap Yu Juan, consultant orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon from Park City Medical Center. Today we're going to be discussing sports-related ankle injuries. Interesting how Dr. Yap has gone back to evolution and explained to us as to how there was really no need to use the ankle that much in the past when we walked on our fours. Now that we walk on two legs, there is a lot more work for the ankle to support the gait that we use today as opposed to when we used to walk on our fours. So sports-related ankle injuries seem to be the more common one, as Dr. Yap has spoken about. But, you know, we also twist our ankles here and there. As you said, always trying to break a fall, and then you find that your ankle will inevitably sort of is compromised. And sometimes we, as you said, it will be swollen, it will be so painful. But then most of us don't seek medical help. Because, you know, we just ice it or whatever, it goes down and then we think it's all fine. But then many years later, or, you know, later on in life, it comes back to haunt you.
People who sprain your ankle before, you would know when to see a doctor. I think if it's just a minor twist, you feel sharp pain at that moment, and then you hobble for the first few steps, and after that, you just don't even remember twisting your ankle, and you can walk normally. Okay, so that's probably just a mild sprain, okay? And that usually heals with icing and, rest and things like that. Whereas a more severe twist of the ankle, there is something that the ER, the emergency rooms around the world, they call the Ottawa rules for when an x-ray of an ankle is necessary. So there are certain things that if you twist your ankle, you can't even hobble, you can't put any weight on your foot, okay? And this lasts for a couple of days, and your foot doesn't look like, your ankle doesn't look like an ankle, it looks like a cankle or, an elephant's foot, then it's highly likely you could have broken something in your ankle. So then that would be a time to go to see the doctor. Now, there are a lot of patients who self-treat, and I think that's fine. I mean, you mentioned about icing. Icing is actually part of a larger conservative managed non-surgical way of managing an injury. And that involves what we put the acronym as PRICE or RICE. P stands for protection, where you can use an ankle guard or something like that. R for rest, I for ice, C for compression, and E for elevation. So this is something that everybody can do. You know, it's not so convenient sometimes to go see the doctor, and it's costly and things like that. So if it goes away with all this, then it's probably just a simple sprain. There's a lot of trust in Chinese senseis.
Oh, yes.
Or, Malay bomos. Mm-hmm. And it's the same the world over. There are good practitioners, traditional medical practitioners, and there are bad ones. So the good ones will probably see, okay, I think there is something more to this. I suggest you see a doctor and get it x-rayed. I think you may have a fracture. And there are those who, I'll treat you no matter what and put a bunch of herbs there. And then, 2 weeks later, you're no better.
Okay, right? So fracture is one possibility. And yes, you also have soft tissue injury, your ligaments, your tendons and all of that.
Yes.
If you seek complementary treatment or alternative treatment for soft tissue injuries, it works. Not so much for a fracture. What are the consequences of not seeking proper help, especially when you have a fracture in the ankle?
If it was a severe twist, and actually earlier on I mentioned that there's an articulation of the talus bone on top, and on top you have the tibia, and both sides you have the malleoli. So usually you get a malleoli fracture, and it can be a single malleoli fracture, it can be a bimalleolar fracture, it can be a trimalleolar fracture. That means a break at the back of the ankle as well. And the more parts you break, the more unstable the ankle becomes. And if this unstable ankle is not fixed or reduced, it can lead to a whole host of problems. If the initial injury was bad enough that everything is dislocated, you can actually jeopardize the blood supply to the foot, and you can actually have damage to the skin blood supply, and then you can develop skin necrotic areas, vascularity is involved. If by some miracle, it doesn't affect your blood vessels and all that, you just have a deformed ankle, and the deformed ankle heals in that manner, then of course your alignment, your weight-bearing axis gets distorted, and eventually you get arthritis. And when you get arthritis, you get chronic pain, you can't walk properly. And if you get chronic pain, then it affects your whole lifestyle. You put on more weight, the pain gets worse, it affects your heart, you get a heart attack,
may
end up dying early. So,
who would have thought?
Yes.
All from the ankle.
Yes.
that's a pretty chain reaction. A huge chain reaction without you realizing. And you will never know the source. When you have the heart attack, you won't know where it all began. But what about shoes? I mean, the type of shoes that you wear, could that affect or compromise the ankle joint?
Yes. If your foot is pointing down, as in if you wear stilettos, okay?
Oh, man, so, here you go again. All the orthopedic surgeons say the same thing to us.
Let me finish,
Mira. Okay, I will let you finish.
It actually loosens the ankle joint to a certain extent, and that's why most ladies, if they wear stilettos and they're not careful, they twist their ankles more frequently. Now, I'm not against wearing heels. I mean, I have a wife, I have two daughters.
They will wear heels,
and I won't discourage them. But it has to be sensible heels, okay?
Okay, what
heels
is sensible?
That are 2 to 3 inches in height.
Okay, that's relatively high.
Yeah, well, they're not stilettos, which are like 5 inches high. And, and you know, if you want the height boost, then there are always platforms. Most ladies, unless they are, I mean, if they are in the corporate world, they may wear it all the time. But if you're just wearing it for a function, just wear it for a function. I mean, nowadays you have flats that you can even fold into a small little compact, like, you know, your compact mirrors and put in your handbag. So you can wear those flats first, you know, just carry your heels. And then when you're at the function, you wear your heels. When you're out of the function, then change to your flats, you know. So then the risk to your ankles are less. Of course, if you strengthen your ankles, you know, you do a lot of sports, you stretch your calf muscles, that again reduces all your risk of injuring your ankle.
Okay, and coming back to sports, what type of sports is more likely to cause ankle-related injuries?
Contact sports, football, in our part of the world, maybe futsal, basketball players, especially when you jump.
Volleyball
land,
players, yeah.
Volleyball, even badminton. If you land wrongly, you can twist your ankle, okay? So whenever there is an abnormal landing from a high position, so when I put it in that way, even walking down the stairs, if you take 2 steps down at a time, that's a relatively high height. And if you land with your ankle turned in, then you're going to roll your ankle.
Okay. So I can almost feel the pain already. What about weekend warriors, all of those who exercise only over the weekends? Are they prone to ankle problems more than somebody who consistently exercises throughout the week?
There are two types, probably. When you mention those that consistently work out, then there are those, as you mentioned, weekend warriors. They decide to get their exercise for the week in a weekend. And frequently, these are usually busy people during the weekdays. So, in a weekend, they just want to go and exercise and play. And they may play for a long time, like a couple of hours, you know, cycling or badminton or whatever and things like that. And most of the time, everybody forgets to stretch. So, when you don't stretch, you don't warm up, that's a recipe for an injury.
Okay, so very, very important. What about warming down? A lot of us don't even do that.
Warming down is another crucial part. So ideally, if you have the time, and you should make the time, if you're going to exercise, you want to exercise for your health. You don't want to injure yourself and then you can't exercise, right? So stretch before, a couple of calf stretches. All in all, maybe 2 minutes, less than 5 minutes, okay. Then you warm up. A warm up can be just a light jog in place, run around the court, and that again generally takes about maybe 5 minutes. So when you go to your spot, you go a bit earlier, then you do these warm ups. Okay, so your heart rate is a bit up, you're mildly sweating, hopefully, and then you can start your spot. And that will reduce your chance of injury tremendously. And when you finish, as you rightly mentioned, you should warm down, slow down to a walk, you know, do some more stretches and things like that. Then that will actually reduce your risk of injury to most things, I think, not just the ankle.
And if you ignore the ankle problem, are there long-term consequences?
What do you mean by ignore?
Meaning you don't properly treat it. You self-treat. you do, the so-called massage or whatever, without realizing what's actually happened in the whole ankle.
Unless
plantar fasciitis, for an example. What is that? You want to explain that to us?
Okay. Plantar fasciitis, or otherwise known as heel pain syndrome. It's not really related to sports so much unless you do a lot of impact exercises. You have a very tight calf muscle. Again, it comes back to the calf muscle. When the calf muscle is tight, it pushes your foot down. And the plantar fascia is something like akin to a ligament which or tendon which attaches the balls of your feet, your toes, all the way to the heel. So when your foot is downwards, that plantar fascia gets shortened. Most patients get it first thing in the morning, the first few steps out of bed. So what happens when you get out of bed? The foot comes down, the toes have to come up, so it stretches the plantar fascia, and the weakest point is where it attaches to the bone at the heel, and that gets inflamed. And chronically inflamed enough, then the healing process gets interrupted. And this is such a common condition that I see at least one patient a day in my clinic with this condition. Okay, and it can affect everyone, not just, in fact, less of the sports people, more of sedentary people, overweight people, people whose jobs require a lot of standing, a lot of walking, where there's more pressure on there. So the easiest way to get rid of a plantar fasciitis, the best cure is just to stretch before getting out of bed. And the stretch is very simple. You use a towel or a belt, you stretch 30 seconds, and then you get out of bed. And once you do that, the pain usually subsides quite a bit.
Okay, so that's the management of plantar fasciitis.
Okay. Yes. But the early question you were asking...
Long-term, will an ankle joint problem give you problems later on in life?
Okay, if you have an ankle injury, subtle injuries like a simple sprain, you may weaken the ankle, so you are more prone to injuries again. If somehow you've injured, let's say, the cartilage in your ankle, then you can get arthritis later on in life. So usually what happens is that if you injure yourself and then it goes away, but the next time you go play your sports or do your exercise, it flares up, and this happens every single time. You have to see someone to make sure you have not damaged your ankle. Okay, when you twist your ankle, frequently you tear a ligament called your anterior talofibular ligament, your ATFL for short. Now, 80 to 90% of these ligament tears heal with proper conservative management, non-surgical management, which is what we mentioned earlier, like PRICE. Okay, so once it heals, then it's fine, okay?
Can we run through PRICE again? That's what? Protection,
rest ice, compression, elevation.
Okay.
Okay. If it doesn't heal, then you get chronic ankle laxity, then your so-called loose or unstable ankles, you know, weak ankles, for instance, okay? And then if you do strengthening, that settles the problem, then that's fine. But when you twist, you can injure more than just the ligament. You can tear the tendon which goes around the ligament, and that may not heal or take a long time to heal. If it's caught early and the damage is minimal, we can do minimally invasive surgery called keyhole surgery, where I put a small camera into the joint. Now, this camera can be anything from 2.7 millimeters to 4 millimeters, and I can look at the cartilage damage, clean it up, do some procedures, call a microfracture, which stimulates the cartilage to regrow. Of course, it's scar cartilage, but it's better than having a hole in your ankle, okay? And at the same time now, with advances in techniques, we can actually do a keyhole repair of your ATFL ligament, okay? Where years ago, we used to do long incisions like 4-5 centimeter incisions to repair this ligament, it can be now done through the keyhole.
Wow. Yes. Okay. So we've advanced terribly in this area of managing ankle injuries. Yeah.
Yes.
Keyhole surgery
in Malaysia, not many of us do it. certainly, I think the lead in these techniques come from in our part of the world, probably come from Korea and Japan, and they have advanced these techniques. And these are techniques where a properly trained orthopedic surgeon or foot and ankle surgeon can learn, and then you can do, and then, of course, you get similar outcomes versus the traditional old method of larger incisions. But the larger incisions are not a bad thing, mind you. It's just a larger scar, sometimes a little bit more pain. But the end result is you want a stable ankle.
Yep.
And if you get a stable ankle through whatever means, whoever you see, then you go back to sports, right?
How do we decide whether surgery is required or not? A lot of us have an aversion to surgery when it comes to injuries like these. When do we know we really need it?
There are conservative management, physical therapy, strengthening, but you can't get back to the sports that you once did, okay? And if surgery can give you that, then that's the time to go for surgery. So a rough guide that I tell my patients is that you tell me when you need surgery. It's when it affects your lifestyle. You cannot exercise. You can't even do a three-hour shopping trip around a mall. You can't travel. You know, you end up being sedentary. You put on more weight. Again, that again is the pathway to destruction, where you get overweight, health, other health problems and things like that. So before all this happens, okay, once it has interrupted your lifestyle, you have pain on a daily basis, and the specialist tells you, I can fix this, then by all means, go for surgery.
So depending on patient needs and function.
Yes, everybody is different. Guarding the ankle, it's not one size fits all.
Yeah.
It's not a fixed menu, it's a la carte. So if you need to be done, then again, we can tailor to what you need.
So does that also mean that how long it takes for an ankle to fully heal really depends from one person to the other, as
yes.
well as the injury that's happened?
Yes. Rough general timeline would be if you sprain your ankle, a mild sprain can take a couple of days to a week. More severe one can take up to 6 weeks. And if you do surgery, again, it depends whether surgery is just affecting the ligament or affecting the bone. So the healing period can again take anything from 2-3 months with physical therapy and all that, and get back to walking normally faster. Probably maybe not sports, unless you are a high-level athlete who has access to physical therapy 3 times a week or even every day, then of course you can go back to your sports earlier.
Faster.
Yes.
Okay. Is there any way we can prevent ankle-related injuries?
Yes.
Don't wear high heels.
No.
You're very clever. I almost got you there.
Yes, you almost did. No, there is, we are on air. We don't have a camera here. Otherwise, I can show you. We have an ankle owner's manual, so you should read the manual. But generally, to prevent injuries is having the right footwear, doing stretches. You can do balancing exercises. The ankle joint is built in such a manner that the ligament, which I mentioned earlier, the ATFL, it gives us proprioception. Proprioception in layman's terms is balance.
Yep.
So it helps with your balance. So one way to test your balance is to stand on one foot, okay, and close your eyes. And if you fall over, that means you have bad balance. If you can close your eyes and balance on one foot for at least 30 seconds, okay, that is in itself, that is an exercise you can do to help your ankle. So your balance is better. That means your joint position sense is better. That means when you walk, your ankle knows where it is. It's not in an abnormal position where you're bound to injure it. Okay? And earlier on, I mentioned the calf stretches, the one where you use a belt and pull
yes.
your foot towards you. Those are things, again, where you loosen the pressure around the ankle and therefore again, protect your ankle.
Okay.
If they do some form of qigong, it actually helps them avoid injuries and gives them a better mobility versus someone who is just sitting in front of the TV all the time.
What's your message to some of us who feel that supplements can strengthen the ankle joint?
Well, supplements are meant for a couple of things. General well-being, being marketed nowadays that help the joints. I don't think there are specific supplements that strengthens ligaments and things like that. But again, it's not a cure-all. I mean, people like to take supplements, but exercise is actually the best supplement of all. So if you exercise, you strengthen your ligaments in through exercise and things like that, that's probably better than just supplements.
Okay.
I think there are no hard evidence that show that supplements actually can strengthen your ankle.
So I think to remember that, I suppose no one supplement is going to actually look after all of that,
no.
Would you say? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what's your message on sports-related ankle injuries?
Sports is good. Remember to stretch, stretch, stretch. Warm up, exercise, warm down, stretch again. Okay? Prevention is always better than cure.
I think I'll take away that I need to start, shut my eyes and stand on one foot to see how long I can last. Thank you very much for joining us today. Dr. Yap Yu Juan, consultant orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon from Park City Medical Center, speaking to us about sports-related ankle injuries on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.